All right, guys. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Sports Talk ACL podcast. I know that we had an episode yesterday. We're going to have an abbreviated one here today just because obviously the biggest major trade in professional sports last night involved the Atlanta Hawks, them acquiring Clint Capela. First reaction to the trade, Chase, what are you thinking, bud?
Well, I like how first you said it was the biggest trade, obviously, with Mookie Betts getting dealt to the Dodgers, which is an unfortunate blow to the Braves. Obviously, they were already favored to win the NL by about 9 games, and I have to imagine they're going to be favored to win by about 10 or more with the addition of a guy like Mookie Betts. But I agree, Clint Capela, as far as we're concerned, with ATLians, was a huge addition, especially since we were able to get him for something as basically worthless for a first-round pick protected in the lottery. I mean, when you look at this Hawks team, we just have so many young pieces. We don't really need any more rookies, and we're going to have another one coming in next year with our own pick, which presumably is going to be in the top 5. So I just don't see any reason to keep, you know, adding rookies and rookies. So being able to pick up a 25-year-old who is definitely going to be better than whoever we're going to get in a draft class with, let's say, the 15th pick. You know, I mean, I don't know how you're not happy. We'll see how him and John Collins can kind of coexist, but I think a great move by Travis Schlenk here.
Yeah, definitely. And for those who didn't see the full trade, it was actually a 4-team trade. Had the most players involved in the trade since 2000, the Patrick Ewing trade. You know, Capela went to the Hawks along with Nene, who I cannot believe still plays basketball. Houston got Bob Johnson. Yeah, ridiculous. Minnesota got Malik Beasley, Juan Hernan Gomez, Evan Turner from us, and our first-round pick from the Nets. And then Denver got Gerald Green and Houston's first-round pick. Now, I'm going to agree with you here. You know, obviously, you know, the more rookies, the merrier, right, until you're trying to win. And it's clear that the Hawks are trying to make a push here. You know, they have their bona fide superstar in Trae Young. They have some great pieces around them. And they already have another shot at bringing in another potential superstar with their pick this year. We don't know where that's going to land yet. But now, the reason I like Capela is because he's young enough to fit this window, but he's also old enough where you know what you're getting. And second of all, you know, what you're getting is one of the top rebounders in the league, you know, under the age of... Well, he is 25. At 25 or under, I mean, he'll be 26 next year. But, you know, this is a guy who's played in a similar offense with the Rockets. I mean, obviously, you know, more veteran pieces. But, you know, it's a high-paced offense that's relatively similar. So I think as far as being a fit, it'll be good for him. You'll probably get some more scoring opportunities just because, you know, Russell Westbrook, James Harden demanded the ball so much in Houston. So I really like that just because, you know, I actually had an article in the works that we won't be posting that, but, you know, I was talking about some guys that I really liked with the Nets pick. And, you know, like, for instance, like Vernon Carey Jr. was one of them. That's a guy who I think can be a stud in the NBA, but at the end of the day, he's far from a guarantee. I mean, any draft pick, even inside the lottery, is far from a guarantee. The Hawks know exactly what they're getting. They get a player who fits their window. And... you know, they give up the Nets pick, which was basically a consolation for having financial flexibility, helping the Nets out to get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So, yeah, I think it's a great move that fills by far their biggest need. I mean, you know, center it's been a problem all year. I mean, honestly, Chase, if you had the gun to your head, they told you right now, you know, we had Clint Capela on this team from the beginning, let's assume that Herter and Collins have been healthy. I mean, how many more wins would this Hawks team have?
I mean, I think they're a playoff team. I mean, I think the Hawks could have been competing for... I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team this year, even if they were healthy. I thought they were going to be around that 35-win range. They probably would have finished a few wins short. But I think Capela definitely puts them over the top. I mean, he's a guy right now, if you're just looking for value, obviously their games are different, but right now he's about as good as John Collins. I mean, what he brings on the defensive end is probably going to bring even more wins than what John Collins is. So I think it's a really, really good fit. And I'm really excited to see, I know he's injured right now, but whenever he does come back, how him and Collins can coexist. can two rim-running big men, you know, coexist with Trae Young? Is that going to work out on the offensive side? Because I think defensively, obviously, they're going to make a drive, no doubt, and rebounding is going to be huge. So I think, you know, whatever they get from here is going to far outdo any, you know, lack of offense they get with Capella and Collins on the floor at the same time, because the defensive improvements are going to be so big with Capella on the floor. So I'm just excited to see how those two can coexist, because if they can, you know, this has the potential of being such a good move thing that he has three more seasons left and you can re-sign John Collins. But if they can't coexist, you kind of find yourself with this decision to make. Do you re-sign John Collins, you know, pay in the $20 million? Can you trade Clint Capella? I think the good thing about this move is if you do like where John Collins' game is going and you want to re-sign him, but their games don't necessarily mesh, I think Clint Capella's contract allows him to be moved relatively easily, especially with, you know, he's only going to have two, one year left when we want to move him. So I think that's kind of, you know, I think all around this is a good deal. And if you're talking gun to your head, do I think we're a playoff team? I mean, I think we are a borderline playoff team. We're definitely going to be a lot more watchful this second half of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there is a possibility. Let's say the Hawks are sitting second overall and James Wiseman is staring at them. They feel he's the best player on the board. You know, I do think that they could probably go ahead and flip Capella again, probably get back a similar asset to that, you know, top 14 protected first-round pick. I mean, he's a talented player, so I think given the cost, it was definitely worth the risk. And we'll just kind of see what happens when we get there. As far as Collins goes, you know, I understand why a lot of people are questioning the fit, just because, you know, Collins does do some of his best work around the rim. But, you know, I think people are quick to forget that John Collins has also shot about 34% from three this year. And he's the type of player who can play on the inside and the outside. And while he's far from a sharp shooter, I think we're going to see that a lot more. You know, John Collins taking more jump shots, trying to expand his game a little bit. That's what I think bringing in a guy like Capella does. You know, Collins doesn't have to worry about playing the five as much, you know, kind of masking the liabilities that the Hawks have on the roster as far as big men goes. You know, I hate to make comparisons, especially because it's such a young team as compared to a team that made a move to win a championship, but you know, one of the best moves that Mark Cuban ever made in Dallas was, you know, they have Dirk who, you know, he can play inside, he can play outside, Hall of Famer, one of the best players ever. I mean, John Collins has his work cut out for him, he's just going to be Dirk. But bringing in a guy like Tyson Chandler and just saying, hey, Tyson, like, you clean the boards, you play the defense, and Dirk, you play your game, you know, that's what took them, you know, over the hump and got them their, you know, storybook championship over the LeBron. And I think that's what you could kind of see in Atlanta. I think that's what they're kind of looking for is, hey, you know, we're going to bring a guy whose job is solely protect the hoop, and we're going to let John Collins actually play his game and, like, develop his game the way that he wants to. We're not going to have him playing some role that we don't think he's capable of playing.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually think that's exactly what Capella brought to the Rockets, which is why I'm kind of surprised it dealt me for so little. I mean, when I look at this Rockets team, when they really became a championship contender, along with Chris Paul, you know, getting there, you know, bringing him in to pair with James Harden, but I really just thought the development over the last 3 or 4 years of Capella has been one of the main reasons. And, yeah, just like you said, all he does is play defense and check the rim and catch lobs. That's all he's going to be asked to do, and he's going to be a really, really good, do a really good job with it. And that's what he's doing in Houston. So I was kind of surprised, but you know, Daryl Morey always has, you know, a quick trigger. He's always trying to find ways to get better if he doesn't think things are working. And obviously he has his reasons. It hasn't worked all the time. I mean, I think if he could go back, he probably wouldn't have traded Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook in the first place. But, you know, a lot of these things, you know, I don't know. Morey, you know, he's kind of a loose cannon. He kind of does whatever he wants. So I actually think Capella's going to be a great addition. I'm really excited. One thing I wanted to talk about, though, is the residual impact. So let's say we have Capella and John Collins starting, and let's say that's going to be the starting front court for the foreseeable future. Well, then, out of Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerter, and DeAndre Hunter, which one of them is going to become, you know, the sixth man, the guy off the bench to really improve this second unit? Or is there going to be a guy? And then you mentioned it. We have a top five pick coming in. So you have to think a couple of these guys are probably either going to fall off the radar because they're not good enough to cut it. which I don't think is the case with any of them. I think Herter, Radish, and Hunter all have the potential to be starters and are potential top pick this year, or they're going to have to be moved. So I do think there's going to be a residual impact, and this is kind of going to be a trial and error thing, where maybe this year and next year we kind of see what we have, starting. But I think there's a lot of moving pieces here.
Yeah, I agree, and I think one thing that's interesting is, I think the Hawks, with all these assets, there is going to be one very big move that they're going to have to make. And the reason why I say that is because, after this Capella deal, the Hawks still held a ton of cap space. They're sitting at over 15
million. Yeah, I didn't even mention that. Like, you add another player to a star, There's going to be an overload of talent here.
Right. So, they're going to have a couple options here. What they're going to want to do is, with John Collins eligible for an extension this summer, hitting restricted free agency the following summer, and then Trae Young being a year behind, following summer he's eligible for an extension, year after he'll hit restricted free agency. You have to think that the Hawks are going to want to bring in, a max contract type player now, and then use their bird rights to bring those guys in over the cap. They want to try to build the best roster possible. Now, the thing is, the free agency class is not that strong this year. Now, they can wait until next year and, tell Collins, go get your deal and restricted free agency, we'll match it, or they can offer him their own deal. But, there's always a chance that they're going to have to use pieces like Herter or one of Hunter and, Reddish to try to go trade for that player that they want to, either have bird rights for in itself or a guy that they can just bring in and then say, we're going to go over the cap this way. This new ownership, they've basically said that they're willing to go over the cap in the future. They're willing to, go over the luxury tax. But it is still kind of a timing game with that, You can't sign both of these guys to extensions and then say, oh, we're going to go sign a guy to a max contract. The money just won't be there. So, I think at some point in the next 2 years, we're going to see the Hawks make that move for, whatever superstar they want to add to this mix. And who knows? That pick this summer could be in the mix. If that pick falls outside the top two picks, you're looking at the next three guys on the board being point guards. Obviously, we already have one. So if they can go get a guy like Bradley Beal, get him on the books, and then go and sign a guy like Collins and Hurt and Young after the fact over the cap, that could be them establishing their championship core and then letting the years of development kind of, build that thing organically. So it's definitely going to have a residual effect. I don't think that they can simply stand pat. Look, maybe all these guys are fantastic and this is all they need, but, looking at the product on the court right now, obviously these guys are super young, but, I don't think the Hawks are just one move away from being a championship contender. Obviously, there's a lot of development to be done, but I think there's definitely one more big move in them before they say, okay, we're ready to go all in.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, I definitely think if we're going to go get a superstar talent like a Bradley Beal, who obviously makes so much sense because you can put him next to Trae Young. He can play, on ball, off ball. He's just so versatile, such a great scorer. He's ideal for what the Hawks want, even though I love, how much I love Kevin Herter. But, if you're talking about Bradley Beal, so I do think the trade is probably going to be the way this goes, considering we're going to have so many pieces. And let's just be honest, I know Trae Young's here, but still, Atlanta hasn't been, a place where free agents want to go. I think that will change, you can see it in the crowd. There's starting to be, a buzz around the city where, Trae Young is generating it. But as the team gets better, you've seen the renovations. There's 15,000 people in there every night on Monday nights. Now, that's just not how Hawks game used to be at Phillips Arena when we were, playing with Jeff Teague and Damari Carroll and winning 60 games, We still couldn't pack the house because, we just didn't have any star power. Star power, that's going to change with this new ownership. I really like where they're headed. They're going to be willing to spend the money. They've already been willing to spend the money. And, I'm excited for the direction. I think you're right about the trade. I think it's going to have to come via trade because I still think we're a tough attraction for free agents.
Hey, man, it could be Giannis next year. You never know.
Yeah, trust me.
Needs the time window, baby. Needs the time window.
How good would that be for Mike Budenholzer to watch his prized possession and baby walk to Atlanta, the team that he forced his way out of?
Yeah, and then we would have two of the top five rebounders in the NBA in Giannis and Capella. So, other teams, they wouldn't be able to sniff a rebound.
Yeah.
Just don't get me too excited on this, to be honest, man. Because, you know, I've been doing that for 10 years now, waiting for the big free agent to come to Atlanta. But, and I mean, I do think times are changing. I think ownership has to do with that, and I think Trae Young has a lot to do with that. And eventually, you know, this is going to turn around. This is the best feeling I've had about the Hawks, the direction he's going, probably since I've been alive. You know, we've always kind of been a treadmill team. You know, I'd rather be losing and setting ourselves up for, you know, a dynasty, an actual potential to win a championship than what we've been doing for the last 15 years.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I'm very satisfied with this move. I think we finally got a guy who can kind of do the dirty work while these young guys do their thing. And, I mean, you know, I'm not even sure we talked about this, but having Capella for around $17 to $20 million a year for the next few years, yeah, I think that's a pretty good value. You know, obviously this cap keeps going up like crazy, but when you consider that guys now are eligible for like $40 million contracts, and Capella at like $17, $18 million, that's a really good value in itself.
Oh, no, without a doubt. I think that's why, you know, I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is a contract that if John Collins and Clint Capella can't coach this, it's very easily tradable. You know, Capella is a really good player, and he's definitely making, you know, an undervalued for what he's worth. So I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, Capella, I'm not quite sure how long he'll be out. He has a toe injury, and, you know, that's another thing that's kind of a bonus for this thing in Atlanta is, you know, he'll probably miss a little bit of time, won't really affect their draft position at all. Because I expect that when he comes back, we are going to see a pretty, you know, immediate impact on this Hawks team. I think that they'll be able to grind out more wins just because of the presence on the board. You know, obviously, I would like to see him get his feet wet with this team and kind of get an idea of how he fits with the team before we go into this offseason. But, you know, I wouldn't expect him on Friday if you're a Hawks fan, if you weren't familiar. But, you know, I do think that it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I do think that's a nice factor that we'll get a taste of Capella, but, you know, we're very much still in the running for that number one pick.
Yeah, and if we can get 20 games this year with Capella and just like a fully healthy core and just see what we have, you know, I'll be really, really excited. Another thing that I just kind of am interested is how this affects, you know, our bench. I think our bench is going to be getting better, especially if we can get Jabari Parker back. We're obviously going to have to fly either DeAndre Hunter or Cam Reddish full-time to the bench. So hopefully our second unit gets better, and I do think if we can play the last 20 games with a healthy unit, we could easily be, you know, go 10-10, maybe even better than that.
Yeah, two things on the bench. One, I think given the injury, given how he kind of fell off after a hot start, I would assume that Jabari Parker will be back on the Hawks next year.
I agree.
Go out and get more than $6.5 million from another team. Another thing that, you know, kind of a smaller fallout from this trade that I'm excited to see is, obviously this Hawks team has asked a little bit too much of their young centers. You know, Bruno Fernando's been starting lately, Damian Jones. And Jones is a guy that I'm really excited for. You know, seeing him in more of a backup role, I think he's a good little, like, energizer bunny. I mean, he can get up. You know, I like what I see from him, and he's still super young. Obviously, I'm not quite sure he's ever going to be a starter in this league, but, you know, I think having Capella establish, hey, he's getting this many minutes, you know, at least 25 a game, probably 30-plus. Yeah, I think that now that those roles are kind of established, I'm excited to see what we can get out of Damian Jones, as well as Bruno Fernando. I mean, I'm still big on Fernando as another guy who can be a pretty solid backup in this league. So I think that kind of establishes the pecking order and the playing time, as well as the roles for these guys. And I think the effect of that is, you know, we're going to get better production out of all of our centers. I don't really know what's going to happen with Alex Lynn this year, but I would imagine, you know, there's little to no chance he's a Hawk next year.
Well, see, that's funny that you say that. I actually think Alex Lynn would be the one I'm most excited for as a backup. I mean, I don't think they'll keep him next year simply because they had multiple centers on the roster. And I actually think he's a candidate to be traded here in the next 24 hours. You know, if there were another trade to be made, he'd probably be it because I do think he has some value as a backup. If you look at his numbers as a backup when he's not a starter, I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, close to like a 18-19 PER player. He can score. He's not great on defense, but as a backup center, kind of probably thought Alex Glenn had a chance. You know, I was really excited for him to starting center. He sucked at it. But when he went back to his backup role, you know, he's been a much better piece. But like you said, I mean, with the fact that he's not really in the future plans, I could see them moving on from him, but I don't know how they're going to utilize him either way with, you know, now that Capella's on the roster with him not really being part of the future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I do like Lynn in more of a backup role as well. I mean, he definitely excelled in that role last year as well as this year. Unfortunately, didn't really step up to the plate like many thought he would when Denman
was out. I was hoping he could, you know, really, really, because I mean, his number has been, you know, 19 minutes a game. Last year, like, if he put 36 those, he was like a 18-point, like, 10-rebound guy. And it's like, damn, if he can do that as a starter's role, you know, this is going to be huge. But for some reason, it just wasn't the same click. I mean, and maybe it's just the competition when you're starting. Defensively is a lot better, and, you know, he's better at playing against second-unit guys. I definitely think that's part of it, but I think part of it is just kind of the mental aspect of it.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised to see that the Rockets didn't at least try to, you know, bring that part of that trade.
Yeah, and you'd think they'd do that. It makes sense. And you think the Hawks would be willing to part ways with them because we don't really have much we can do with them unless we think we can get swap them for, like, a second rounder or two or maybe a heavily, I mean, no, I'm not even going to say that. A second rounder.
Yeah. Don't sell ourselves short.
Yeah. No, but I'm excited about this deal. I think it was a great deal for the Hawks. I think we gave up the asset that we, you know, we were able to give up. You know, it was something that we didn't really need. We would have had too many rookies on this roster. And Capella at 25 with three more seasons of control, I mean, that's basically, you know, a rookie contract, except, you know, he's getting paid a little bit more. But as we said before, it's reasonable. And, you know, Schlenking, I guess that's all you can say. You know, he's shown a good eye for talent in the draft, but he's definitely proved, as you wrote in your article, that, you know, he's made the necessary moves that a lot of GMs, you know, don't really even want to have the courage to make all these transactions, but it added up to Clint Capella and us being able to trade for DeAndre Hunter for essentially nothing. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Last thing I want to talk about with you before we wrap this thing up. You know, this is definitely the first trade that we've seen under Schlenk that was a move to get better tomorrow. You know, I mean, he's made all these moves for young assets. This is the first time we've made a trade for an established player. Do you think this is kind of the next chapter for the Hawks, you know, starting today almost?
Yeah, I think without a doubt it's the next chapter for the Hawks, and I think this is where you can start looking at Lloyd Pierce and say, hey, man, it's time to go get some wins. You know, if you're going to be the coach and we make it to the playoffs next, you know, it's time to start getting some wins, and that starts this year. And I do believe that if the Hawks don't start, if they finish this year lackadaisical and they don't start next year, well, I think Lloyd Pierce could be out. So I definitely think this is the next stage for the Hawks.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, Hawks obviously find themselves out of the playoff mix at this point, but definitely excited to see what Clint can do when he is healthy and ready to go with this Hawks team, how he can kind of transform this, you know, one of the worst defensive teams in the league into hopefully a pretty respectable defensive unit and, you know, see where that can lead this team as far as the win columns go. So appreciate you taking a little time out today for us to throw up this emergency pod for the fans. And for the fans, I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll be back next week. Unless, you know, the Braves make a splash for Chris Bryant, we might be back a little earlier.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow with the KB News.
Yeah, all right. Have a good one.